Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let's title
of
this thing. Don't title again.
And I did not leave the
Is it rolling, Bob?
Chick, chick. Buffers Park. Tuesday afternoon around, I don't know, is it 2:30 maybe? Yeah, 2:30. Overcast, and I'm in the middle of chores. My one job for today was to get the summer tires put on my wife's car. They're mounted on rims. It's just a matter of dropping it off. And I was going to go this morning, but got sidetracked. I'll tell you about that in a minute. And when I went in at 2, he said, oh, too busy today, come tomorrow. And I said, I can't tomorrow, I got to get my road trek, have the tires rotated on the road trek. Friday? No, can't do it Friday. So he talked to one of the mechanics and said, all right, come back at 5. So I'll be back. I cannot get through the day without, you know, I mean, I've given my wife her old Toyota. I've got her car. I've got to get this done today. So it will be done at 5, I hope. And now I'm sitting here with my Tim Hortons coffee. Now, hear me out. It tastes good. I would have to say it tastes a little better. I asked for the dark roast, one cream, small size, $1.60. So is it twice as good as the 80-cent medium size that I get from the Big Whopper? I don't know. I must admit, it does taste better. Let me have another sip just to be sure. Yeah, it's just more fuller-bodied and maybe fresher, too. But still, you know, when I just need a coffee just because I just feel like it's like wanting a smoke, you know, I don't really need it, but I want it. There you go. All right. So welcome to Dixon Jane's episode number 734. I left you hanging in the last one with what kind of a guy am I? Am I really the asshole certain people seem to think I am? And it's too early to draw conclusions, firm conclusions yet. We are multifaceted. Now, I do really like the idea, and it almost ties in with, well, one interpretation I had about Christianity earlier was, if you believed in Jesus, you were always forgiven, that there's this, and it wasn't coming from a divine source, it was a matter of the concept of forgiveness. Okay, you're human, you're going to make mistakes. Own up to your mistake and try and do better. And you, as long as you've acknowledged what you've done wrong or learned from it or understood why it was wrong, all right, you get another chance. And you seem to get an infinite number of other chances. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way is more Zen-like, but it's closely related, and that is you redefine yourself in every moment. Nothing is fixed. You are a new person in each moment. That's existential too, right? Who you are is you are continually defining through your actions. So I guess the thing is, we have interactions with so many people in so many different situations that you can be good in one head. Like, you might be the perfect family man and doting father, and at work be a complete asshole to your employees, because that's another role you step into, and that's the way you think you have to do your job. And for people to be all good in all situations is that's a tall order. So anyway, I'm not trying to make excuses for myself. I'm just trying to, well, I am trying to find the loopholes that you can move forward and you can be better, and you do get another chance. And it's up to you to make of life, make of yourself what you will. Okay, park that. Today, I'm in my pajamas. I'm going through Facebook as usual. I'm still seeing all these blog posts or Facebook posts on the fire at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, and the tragic loss, the promise to rebuild. Another story that at the same time that was burning, there was a mosque burning in somewhere in the Middle East. Maybe it was in Palestine. Maybe it was, I don't know where it was, but, you know, somebody had to make that connection. And, it's not moral relativism. It's just the one in Notre Dame, which I've seen, and for it's just awesome, awesomeness. It just was stunning, and it just seems so terribly sad for that to have been burned. Luckily, the tower, the bell towers are saved, that famous, I don't know if it's called the Rose Window or something in the front, they think, and they managed to save some artwork, including the crown of thorns said to belong to Jesus. Now, come on. And pieces of the cross. Come on. But anyway, relics that are important to believers were saved. But it just for the thing in it, it was like a symphony, like a piece of music. And a symphony can be played and replayed and replayed as long as the original composition is never lost. But a building like this, oh my God, one of a kind, and 200 years in the making. And it made such an impression on me when I went to France as a, you know, one-way ticket out of Montreal, $99, Air France. They give you champagne and a little pack of cigarettes. Oh, I felt like a king. Arrived in Paris, found a cheap hotel in the, oh, can't remember, but right in, you know, sort of the Latin Quarter, I guess, and walking distance to all these places, and remember going up to that and seeing, wow, I'm in Europe. This is just awesome. So it was sad news. But anyway, on Facebook, there is a thread here. Somebody called David Newland posted something, a picture of the church, and it was an article. I should have looked it up. I should have done that in prep beforehand, but I'm going to just wing it. Talking about, that was one thing, but what about the loss of all those trees, all the former lives, all the history that was not turned into edifices, but is a history nonetheless, and important nonetheless, the people, the lives, the nature, the animals that have been lost and never remembered and never recalled and never really acknowledged. And I was prepared to sort of challenge him, hey, that's my church you're talking about. But the article was good and thought-provoking, and it was, yeah, there are other things we should value as well, not just these man-made structures. But what was it made from? What about the wood? It was, you know, the forests that have been cut down and lost. So I got interested, and David Newland is somebody I remembered. In specific, we had a conversation once, and he suggested we take a canoe trip just down the Rouge River, which is right where I'm going to get to, where I saw him today. I had a canoe at the time, and somehow we got into a conversation. And it never happened, but I've never forgotten it, because I've since followed him as a musician, as a man who's putting out, he's just putting out his, in this year, 2019, his maybe fourth CD, which he thinks is his best work yet. But also as a photographer, and also as somebody who talks about the North and is actually works for, I think it's called Adventure Canada, which does, these northern tours. And he is one of their ambassadors and a Zodiac driver for many years now of this great big cruise ship that goes up to Greenland and the Northwest Passage and other places. And Lord gets people onto the Zodiacs and comes up to these Inuit communities. So very, very interesting character. Now, we first met, and he remembered, because I'm circling around here, sorry, why suddenly. Okay, it was this article he posted. So that led me to think, well, I should really check out David, because maybe he might be an interesting speaker for our church. If you remember last week, I talked about how wonderful it was to have Dr. Goldman come and speak to our church and how much people appreciated it. And part of one of the roles I've taken on is to find speakers for when Greta is away. And so I thought, no, David would probably be an interesting speaker. Looked at his blog and saw, oh, today, April 16th, he's talking at 10 a.m. at Rouge River Community Center, or Rouge Park Community Center. Wow, Port Union Road, that's here in Scarborough. So I was in my pajamas, I didn't shower, I got dressed, I raced over, arrived at 10 o'clock, met this person leading a group, and it is a group of hikers, and they bring in guest speakers. And the idea was they have a hike first, and then they have a lunch upstairs, and these are all elderly people who are fit, who like to like nature and like walking and like, you know, bird watching or whatever else they do. So I show up for that, and then, of course, I meet somebody from my church. Very nice man and his wife, a former scout leader in the bigger part of his life, a canoeist, an avid canoeist, an outdoor nature person with all the kind of practical skills and experience that I respect and am envious of to some degree. A member of our church since 1974, long before all the commotion happened about that we faced at West Hill United. So anyway, he said, well, come on back. David Newland did not show up. Apparently he forgot all about it and just arrived just in time to do his presentation. But what I'm getting at is the ripples that just exist through life. And I've talked about this before, and it just, it fascinates me. And it may be, it may seem meaningless or silly, I don't know, but to me it's endlessly fascinating. The fact that he posted a blog or a post about this fire that I was determined to read because I knew him, that led me to check into his blog, to think of him as a possible speaker, and then find out, wow, today, now, this morning, he's speaking in Scarborough. Jump to it, man. So I realized they were going to have a hike first. I don't really not up for the hike. But they said, come back, bring a lunch, come back and see him then. So it's exactly what I did. It was a fascinating talk on the North, the Northern people, the character, the history of sort of our Western way of looking at it from the Franklin expedition point of view, as opposed to the people who have always been there. So it was very very much in keeping with maybe, I think, things that would be interest of our church. Let's acknowledge the native people here who were here first and who we, with our European arrogance, have may overlook in, you know, our search for the Northwest Passage and so on. Now, I assume that made some sense. I guess my point was, you're connecting the dots. Does it form a picture at the end? Is there some meaning to it? Or is it just this endless stream of taking you from here to here to here? But each new place you get to opens up the possibility of so many other dots. It was a very nice conversation. He remembered me, of course, from Pab and said, oh, you're a podcast. You're the Scarborough guy, aren't you? And I corrected him. No, I'm the Scarborough dude. But it was lovely to see him. And he said, no, I speak to United Churches all the time. I'd love to come. So it was just a wonderful connection, followed up from sitting on the sofa in pajamas looking at Facebook, which many of you may think is a dead end. In this case, it proved to be quite the opposite. So that's all I want to say. I better keep this short. I think if there was a point in there, I hope you saw it. I know I meant to have one, and it is everything around us, every encounter opens up almost infinite possibilities. And it's so important not to close yourself off to them. All right, now I do have, and this is a strange connection, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. About love and the many languages of love that came up. Yeah, I will do it. I will do it. I'll just keep going. I'm sorry. I'm motoring on here. But the five love languages. Now, again, we have a men's group. Our facilitator brought this in. And I said, well, how interesting, because just this week at Oasis, there was a speaker, or the last week, who was going to talk about the five languages, the five love languages, which I had never heard of, but apparently there's a book or several books by this particular person, Chapman, somebody who's written about this and gives talks all over in marriage counseling and so on. And wow, to have missed the Oasis one and then totally without any connection, other than me being aware of both, our facilitator for our group says, hey, I got something, a book that I always read and I give to any friends who are getting married. I thought you guys might be interested in comparing your love style with your wife's, your partner's love style. I said, I don't think so, but I'll be interested in hearing it. So I'm going to tell you the five love languages very quickly, defined, because I can't stop talking. So number one, words of affirmation. Using words to build up the other person. Thank you for taking out the garbage. Not, it's about time you took the garbage out. Flies are going to carry it out for you. So words of affirmation. Positive words, right? Build up the other person, okay? Number two, gifts. A gift says, he was thinking about me. Look what he got for me. That's the second. Again, these are languages of love. Words of affirmation, gifts. Number three, acts of service. Mm-hmm. Something I should be doing more of, and something that clearly my wife values more than gifts or words of affirmation, and that would be doing something for your spouse that you know they would like. Cooking meal, washing dishes, vacuuming floors are all acts of service. If I could do that more often for my wife, not wait for her to start vacuuming Sunday and then finding an excuse to go out in the car, but getting to the vacuum cleaner during the week while she's working and doing it on, say, Friday and saying, hey, it's all done. You don't have to vacuum this week. Wow. Boys and girls, it's like me going to the physiotherapist. I have no excuse for not doing it. I just have to do it. And following what we heard about from the last podcast, what kind of a self-serving bottom feeder am I? Maybe it's about time I picked up on this third act of love. Number four, quality time, by which I mean giving your spouse your undivided attention, taking a walk together, or sitting on the couch with the TV off, talking and listening. Now, we tried that last night. My wife is trying to plan a holiday, possibly with a friend from Japan, and this is proving to be quite complicated, whether it's going to be based out of Toronto, based out of Vancouver, based out of Barcelona. And I do find I'm a little impatient with my wife's way of telling a story. I am a little impatient, and I have a hard time. I admit I'm owning up to a failure here, folks. Don't jump on me just yet. I'm owning up to it. That it seems to take a long time with a lot of tangents that don't seem to be connected to get to a point. And so that quality time for me to listen. And last night I did. I shut the volume off the TV anyway. At least I did that. I think there was a picture going, but. And I refrained for as long as possible from making comments before I finally burst out, I don't understand your thinking. And that was a mistake. That was a mistake. All right, number five, physical touch. Holding hands, hugging, kissing, sexual intercourse are all expressions of love. Physical touch. So I'll repeat them to you, and this applies to anybody here, any relationship. And the thing was, all these are love languages. Which one do you speak? Which one does your partner value? And what they find is, while somebody might value number five, the physical touch, the other person would much prefer a number three, an act of service, or even words of information at the other end of the scale. So out of these five, each of you has a primary love language which speaks more deeply to you than all the others. Okay, so there's another point. One of those is your primary love language, and you have to identify which one it is. Discover each other's language, and speaking it regularly is the best way to keep love alive in a marriage. Find out what is your partner's love language and learn to use that to keep your love alive. And so there are lessons here that I could certainly benefit from. So there you go, and it's followed by, which is quite neat, a 40-point, 30-point quiz of choices. Like, number one would be A, I like to receive notes of affirmation from you, or E, I like it when you hug me. And you circle which one is true. And the idea is the partner does it, and each of you does it separately. And then there's a list, and you add up the number. And, of course, each one has an A, B, C, D, E, one of the five languages, could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, identified with it, and you add up how many words of affirmation did you score, how many quality time, how many receiving gifts, how many acts of service, how many physical touch in each of the pairs. A very neat idea. So, like number 8, I like to sit close to you, E, and E would represent physical touch. Or number 8 would be A, I like it when you tell me that I'm attractive, which would be, A would be, of course, the words of affirmation. So it's neat. And this is just one of the things that just happened to spring out of this men's group at West Hill United Church. Oh my God, 22 minutes. That I'm thrilled about. The ripples that have stemmed from me hearing about this Greta Vosper, the atheist minister, 4 years ago, and listening to her and going in, taking a chance and going into the church, as I did today, to go to this place and listen to David Newland. Who knows what the repercussions will be? It's just absolutely fascinating. So there you go. I hope there was some value in this for you. There should have been if you were paying attention, but how many of you are actually even paying attention? I don't know. Scarborough Dude, signing off from Bluffers Park.
I want to tell you a story about a little man, if I can. A gnome named Grimble Crumble and little gnomes stay in their homes, eating, sleeping, drinking their wine. He wore a scarlet tunic, a blue-green hood, it looked quite good. He had a big adventure amidst the grass, fresh air at last, whining, dining, biding his time. And then one day, hooray, another way for gnomes to say, look at the sky, look at the river, isn't it good? Look at the sky, look at the river, isn't it good? Winding, finding places to go. And then one day, say, ooh.
Check, check. Oops. Okay, folks, this is going to be a very short clip, I hope. I am parked at a, what they call en route. It's these stops at, along the 401 as you're driving towards Montreal from Toronto. This one is Mallory Town. So Tim Hortons here. And a Canadian Tire Gas. I stopped for neither of those. I just stopped to have a leak. And then I thought, why don't I just give you a little short clip in the middle of this podcast to talk to you about my memory, or about memory in general. Now, forewarning, some of you will find this very boring. A very few of you might be interested, but I'm always encouraged, maybe not a good choice of words, but when I hear of somebody who's younger than me, smarter than me, and has led a healthier life than me, still having memory problems. Like, oh my God, I can't remember this, I forget this. And I think, oh great, here's me at 71, you know, 50 years of pot smoking. And of course I'm going to have a few memory issues. But this one was an interesting case to me. I brought three CDs with me. I've got a car full of CDs, but I bought three in particular. And these are the same three CDs I bought in Ajax probably a week or two ago, and I talked about it on the podcast. And in fact, I played three songs, one from each CD, on the last podcast, number 733, I believe. And so I've played the first two, Neil Young. Wow. And boy, am I ever enjoying that, by the way. Just a whole lot of rich stuff, interesting lyrics. And I've become a Neil Young fan, and I'm liking it a lot better than I thought I would. I used to just get annoyed with his voice, and no. And it's wonderful at this age to discover a musician from way back and have a whole back catalog to go through. But what I bought was the two CDs, Decade, and what a good entryway into it, because it's got his hits, but a lot of other stuff that's just of interest. And I'm more tuned into the lyrics now, which, you know, of course makes a difference with somebody like him. But the other one, clearly, was Syd Barrett, which I talked about, the original singer and band member for Pink Floyd, back in the time when I really liked them, their first couple of albums. And then the third one, I couldn't remember. So this is the memory test. Well, why can't I remember? It was only 2 weeks ago. I've got them right beside me. I made a point to bring them out of the house. And not only that, but I played them. Now, I didn't remember that I had played them on the last podcast till later on in this process. The first thing was, I'm going to go through all of them. I'm saving this one I can't remember for last, but damn it, what is it? Who is it? What band? What group? What album? And it's blank, and it's like I'm facing a wall and there's no door. There's no way in. I can't, there's no place to find a clue. It's just I can't remember. And of course, right away you think, hey, you should remember. I've just told you why. You've brought them, you have them, they've been sitting out. You made a point to bring them. How is it you can't remember? Is this a really bad sign of a deteriorating memory or what? But for some reason, there's no way to reach. And I know the memory is there. I know the answer is there. What is the CD? Who is the singer? But I don't know if it's a band, if it's an individual. And I can't seem to, I'm looking at this wall and I can't get in. I don't know how to find a thread to tug on to give me the answer. So I figure I'll make a game of it. I'm not going to look. I could pick it up, it's right beside me. I could just pick it up and look at it. But no, find out. Find it. You use a process of reasoning. Find out, how do you get into your head and pull out. Find out where the connections are. And bam, it's hard. So I'm thinking, okay, now is it somebody that I already have, and I found it was one particular album, like was it to be Van Morrison or Dylan, and I'm the Stones, and the answer is no, it's not like that. So I can't go down that route. But how can I find it? And then, you know, I mean, this took a full half hour to come to the answer, to come up with a solution. And then I remembered, well, wait a minute. On your last podcast, you played one cut from each of the CDs. All you have to do is remember what the cut was. Your answer's right there. And right away, I know, okay, I started off with Baby Lemonade, Syd Barrett. And then there was this other one that I can't remember. The man, band member, the guy, the person, the singer. And then I ended with Neil Young's song about his hearse that he lost, Long May You Run. So I've got that. But what was the piece in the middle? And there's still no clue. And I think, okay, wait a minute now. I've got a better visual memory than I do anything else. So what I make a note, a written note of every, a typed note of every song I've ever played on the podcast. I've got, you know, almost 2,000 songs here. So I can see this, the Excel spreadsheet, I can see it. And I can see where I write, DNJ733. And then I got three lines to fill, like the song, the singer, the CD. And, of course, I can do the other two, but I still can't get about it. I know I'm getting warmer. At least I've narrowed down. I know what thread to tug on. I know where to look. Okay, it was a song I played on the last one between Syd Barrett and Neil Young. Okay, and Syd Barrett was that Crazy Baby Lemonade, and Neil Young was a really nice song. What was it? And then just suddenly, and again, this is at the end of 30 minutes, suddenly my head shouts, country music, country music. It was country because I'm trying to think, what fit in there? What was it that I gave you on the last podcast? And this just shout, like a rejoicing, country, it was country. And then shortly after that, like that's it's like lifting the curtain off and the answer is revealed in front of you. And as soon as I knew it was country, yeah, but what? I didn't have to go any further. It just came up. Graham Parsons, GP, that first song on the Graham Parsons double album. And it was a happy feeling. Hey, I got the answer. It took long, but I followed that process. And I don't know if you followed along with me or fast forward at this point, but it was a really neat way to go. And then I realized, okay, then why was it so easy for Syd and Neil Young? Well, Neil Young was a double, and I'm reading the book and about Neil Young's journey, and it's in my mind all the time. And the fact that I haven't had him, and now I do, is really a big conglomerate of thoughts and memories tied in there. And the Syd Barrett, the same. Syd Barrett goes back to St. Pink Floyd, back to the 70s. I've got a history with Syd Barrett. He's part of me. There's a whole, you know, drawer full of Syd Barrett memories and thoughts and connections and, you know, synapses firing on this guy. But I have nothing about Graham Parsons. I've never had a song by him. I couldn't even name a song by him. I still can't. So that was why. There's very little to go on. That shelf was bare. That drawer was empty. Anyway, I just needed to share that with you. Now I've got to get in my car and start driving. So back to Graham Parsons. And whoops. Yeah. What's that? Okay. So Scarborough Dude, signing off, back on Highway 401. It has been pissing rain the entire time. I got another 45 minutes before I get to Mumfuck. And enjoy Easter. Happy Good Friday for you. Well, how could it be a happy Good Friday? Like, I was nailed to a cross today. That's pretty bloody awful. Atheist Republic put out an image of somebody showing a neck piece and a picture of a severed head and a guillotine, said, if Christ was killed by guillotine, you know, this is what you'd be wearing instead of a cross. You'd have a little guillotine around your neck. All right. Signing off. Bye for now.
I loved you every day, and now I'm leaving.
Okay, we're going to fade this out a little bit. That's Hickory Wind, a big song for Gram Parsons. Of course, Gram Parsons was the CD that I just talked about not being able to remember. I am parked on right near Rideau Canal, Long Island Camp. It's a lovely little... I'm off Road 19, River Road it's called. And it's one of my favorite drives in Canada. But it runs between Kempville and Ottawa, and it just follows the Rideau River, and it's a winding road. But you can get up to 80, 100 kilometers, and you just feel like you're zipping along. I've known this road for many, many years, back when I lived out in Russell for a year and worked at a group home in, somewhere outside of Kempville, a small town. Way, way back in history. That was after, when would that have been? Maybe after Carleton University, early 80s. No, I went straight to Japan after. I don't know. Yeah, but early 80s. Anyway, I know this part of the city. It's spring day. It's all gray. The trees are bare. But there's kind of a stark beauty to it. I've just posted a picture on Twitter. And I've just come back from breakfast at Allegiant in Kempville. Now, that was an event. $6 and basically all you can eat. So you walk in there, you get a ticket, and scrambled eggs, pancakes with banana, sausage, bacon, ham, beans, potatoes, toast, coffee, juice, $6. And it's, you know, the people of Kempville. It's, you know, every once a month they have this, and I just timed it. I stayed at my niece's last night, got into a wonderful talk with her husband, Ollie, about humanism. He had a real interest in it. We have good discussions. These are intelligent, well-educated people, and I always, when I come to the Kempville area, I always stay with my niece and enjoy it very much. And so this has been family time. Easter, like Christmas, sometimes Thanksgiving, is a chance to get together with family, and my brother and his wife, we're hosting a wonderful Easter dinner on Friday, and I goes, wow, turkey, full turkey, and oh, so many dishes, and cake, it was, you know, wine and beer, and oh my God, and my cousin was out there too, so spent the evening there, a nice discussion with my brother, just some quiet time, he and I just talking about my father and stuff. So this was good, this is important, this is family that I don't get to do very often. And then from there, back to my niece's place, and then got up this morning and she said, there is a breakfast going on at the Legion if you're interested. And I said, that sounds exactly what I wanted to do. And then she called my brother, and he had already been there for breakfast. It's a Kempville thing. And so, but Kim found me and came and just had a coffee with me and another talk. And now I've just contacted Mark Blevis, and I'm on my way in to meet Mark at the Wild Oats Cafe on Bank Street, downtown Toronto. So I'm making a real little holiday out of this. And after that, I'm going to maybe drive around Ottawa a little bit. And then I'm driving up to Russell to spend the night, evening, day with my cousin. So this is a real little holiday. And then on the way back, may even drop in on my sister's on Easter Sunday. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, I just wanted to bring you up to date. Nothing really important, but it's kind of a feel-good thing every once in a while to do these, to get in some quality family time. And I was hesitant about coming, and maybe I'll just stay the one night. And now it's unfolding into a very nice little holiday. So that's it. Back to Gram Parsons, back to my drive, and taking care of business, which means having a dump somewhere. That's all that remains to be done in the way of work today. Yeah. All right. Scarborough Dude taking care. And then next week is another holiday. Man, off to Windsor. So, yeah, big things happening. All is well. Bye for now.
Got the Bob Dylan blues and the Bob Dylan shoes, and my clothes and my hair's in a mess. But you know I just couldn't care less. Gonna write me a song about what's right and what's wrong, about God and my girl and all that. Quiet while I make like a cat, 'cause I'm a poet, don't you know it? And the wind, you can blow it, 'cause I'm Mr. Dylan the King. And I'm free as a bird on the wing. Roam from town to town, guess I get people down, but I don't care too much about that, 'cause my gut and my wallet are fat. Make a whole lot of dough, but I deserve it though. I got soul and a good heart of gold. So I'll sing about war and the cold, 'cause I'm a poet, don't you know it? And the wind, you can blow it, 'cause I'm Mr. Dylan the King. And I'm free as a bird on the wing. Well, I sings about dreams and I rhymes it with seems, 'cause it seems that my dream always means that I can prophesy all kinds of things. Well, the guy that digs me should try hard to see that he buys all my discs and a hat. And when I'm in town, go see that, 'cause I'm a poet, don't you know it? And the wind, you can blow it, 'cause I'm Mr. Dylan the King. And I'm free as a bird on the wing.
Jack, greetings from Perth, Ontario. I often stop at this particular Tim Hortons in Perth. Ooh, I should check in. It's just outside of town on Highway 7. I do not like driving the 401 the whole way. It's great when I want to get to, you know, Kempville, whatever, fastest way, 401, 416, bam, you're there. But coming home, I take a different route. Highway 7, it's slow, it's winding, goes by a few lakes, it's quite nice. And then you can cut down cross-country at any point. The fastest route is you turn down at Tweed, catch the 401, and then continue your journey. But it's still a very long way, so I've programmed in Norwood. Norwood, you pick up a meal of Highway 45, and it's not the fastest, but it diagonally cuts across country. Farm country mostly, and gets you back onto the 401 around Coburg, and off we go. So yeah, this is the end of my journey. It is Sunday, Easter Sunday, and it's been a great little holiday. I don't know what I've mentioned already, but the Friday dinner with the family, then Saturday met up with Mark downtown. Mark Blevis, having a good conversation about, you know, the new podcast he's doing, and about the community and whether we'll be a creative camp or not, and or when rather than will be. And then a little antique shop where I bought a pennant. I was talking about somebody, about, well, I guess online, yeah, Montreal Then and Now or whatever, about pennants. It used to be such a thing. You know, when you went on a holiday, you got a pennant and you stuck that up on your wall. And I found one from Cornwall, the Seaway City, or Gateway to the Seaway or something. And, of course, my father is involved in the Seaway, so that was very important to me. And I knocked him down from $8 to, or $10 to $8, which is a ridiculous price. But it was a gift for Sal. I think I'll put it in Sal in memory of my father. And a lot of talk about my father this weekend, with my cousin, with my brother, with my sister, which is interesting. And further research needs to be done on what did he do during the war. Uh-oh. Truck about to cut me off. All right, we're safe. Yeah, so anyway, then out to Russell, stayed with my cousin. Always such a pleasure. I've mentioned him before, Cousin Zeke. Best educated person I know. Listen, Candace, I don't think you listen anyway, but I'm about to bite into a bagel. Mm. I've toasted everything bagel with garlic cream cheese. Mm. I know it's rude, but hey, I ought to fuel myself. So anyway, an evening with him, he made a wonderful steak dinner. We drank lots of red wine, talked a lot. He lives out in the country, a house he built himself. I don't want to repeat this all the time, but I remember it from an excavation. Him in this hole in the ground, a house he was built, was going to be the first of many, and turned out he turned it into an oasis and never left. And it's a beautiful place with a lot of trees. Your hand feeding the chickadees and the chipmunks as they come by. Absolutely beautiful, beautiful place. A small, very simple life. And we talked about his mother, my aunt, and family stuff. Conversation, good conversation with my brother the night before. The breakfast in Kempville, the Legion breakfast, which was fabulous. I mentioned that. And then breakfast with my cousin and on this Easter morning. And the most wonderful talk about, well, evolution, I guess. Like I say, he's far better read than I ever will be. But good conversations. I could hold up my own, at least ask the right questions. And very interesting talk about free will, evolution, guilt, sins, sex. Oh, so many things. And then, of course, our parenting, the effect of the impact of our parents, the DNA connections that are passed on. So that was really good. That was probably one of the highlights of the weekend, just the breakfast conversation this morning with pots of coffee and lots of good food. They eat well, healthily. And then stop cross-country, Road 6. I mean, all these roads I know. I love these routes through Franktown, through, the rural Road 6 cross-country and up to my sister's in Nepean. So every town means something to me. There's information there. I rescued. She was about to throw out a lot of old pictures, unidentified pictures, and I said, do not, from a parent's photo album. I was shocked. So I salvaged those for now anyway. Can't let go of the past. There's too much there, too much history. And that also was part of our talk. Well, what do we pass on to our children? You know, what more, what do we wish we had asked our own parents? And so here I am. Anyway, left there and figured, all right, let's make the usual annual trip through to Perth, where we have some distant ancestral roots. People were given land in Perth after serving the British military or Navy and settled it. A lovely little town. Every time I drive through, I wonder, could I live here? What would he be like? And then walk into the Tim Hortons and I kind of wonder, maybe not. Maybe I really am an urbanite. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up today. I'm going to go back. I'm not going to put you through my sandwich any longer. I did not have a coffee because I had so much this morning, but maybe that was a mistake. We'll see. Scarborough Dude, signing up from Perth, Ontario. I just wanted to say those names and those roads. Highway 7. These are things that have a lot of meaning in my life. Ooh, there goes an unmarked police car. Watch the speeding, boy. Watch the speeding. Scarborough Dude, Signing out, one more bite here. If those of you who like bites, some people do. These are delicious. These everything bagels, really. They're great. But damn it, coffee would have been... I could go back in. I haven't left the parking lot. I might have to do that. Might have to get a coffee. All right. Signing off, Perth, Ontario. End of a weekend. Bye for now. Well, it is disgusting, isn't it? All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. It's Monday noon, April whatever, 22nd, I guess. And I got to finish this podcast off. I'm back home. Horrific news, of course, over the weekend, Easter Sunday. Churches destroyed by, self-annihilators, people who will go and reap great rewards in heaven for killing Christians. It's awful. I don't know. I've at least 200 dead. I always feel for the wounded. The dead are the dead. And if they died believing they're going to heaven because they're good Christians, well, maybe that's some comfort for their families. But the wounded, who could have anything from who knows what, loss of limbs, blindness, just internal damage, pain and suffering. I feel for them, and the biggest feeling I have is just anger and, I suppose, hatred for the perpetrators or the people who cheer on the perpetrators, the people who think like that, that mindset, whoever they are. It brings out, feelings of revenge. Kill them. So, I don't want to dwell on it too much. I'm going to read a piece from Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion, the Moral Zeitgeist chapter, towards the end. Again, I'm just so grateful that there are people like this alive, or have been alive, and are thinking and writing and leaving something behind, intelligent people that we can have faith in, that yes, they speak the truth, they have an understanding, they are soul searchers, they are not blind devotees to some stupid goddamn asshole religion. Sorry. He Googled the new Ten Commandments, and according to the book, he just said, I picked up the first one. I just typed that in, picked up the first one, and I'm going to read those out. Again, this is the new Ten Commandments for today. This is from an atheist website. Do not do to others what you would not want them to do to you. In all things, strive to cause no harm. Treat your fellow human beings, your fellow living things, and the world in general with love, honesty, faithfulness, and respect. Do not overlook evil or shrink from administering justice, but always be ready to forgive wrongdoing freely admitted and honestly regretted. That's a good one. Live life with a sense of joy and wonder. Always seek to be learning something new. Test all things. Always check your ideas against the facts, and be ready to discard even a cherished belief if it does not conform to them. Never seek to censor or cut yourself off from dissent. Always respect the right of others to disagree with you. Form independent opinions on the basis of your own reason and experience. Do not allow yourself to be led blindly by others. Question everything. So that's not bad. And again, this was just, he didn't write them himself. He copied them from a blog. He wanted to... he added a few of his own. Enjoy your own sex life, so long as it damages nobody else, and leave others to enjoy theirs in private, whatever their inclinations, which are none of your business. Do not discriminate or oppress on the basis of sex, race, or, as far as possible, species. Do not indoctrinate your children. Teach them how to think for themselves, how to evaluate evidence, and how to disagree with you. Value the future on a time scale longer than your own. Oh, that's an interesting one. So anyway, that's just so that I don't leave on a note of hatred for Islamic fundamentalists, for example. But it is, it's terribly sad. My talk I mentioned having with Cousin Zeke, Cousin Dave, in Russell was so interesting. One of the things we did talk about was guilt, free will, and looking for forgiveness, and the two ways. If you're a Christian, you know, if you're a Catholic, you go to the priest and you confess, and he tells you how many Hail Marys to sing or to say. And of course, I don't buy that. I did buy into the idea that the concept of Christianity, the philosophy of Christianity, not the religion, not the buildings, not the church, not the establishment, the philosophy of this man called Jesus was that you own up. And it mentioned it here, you know, if you've done something wrong, own up to it. See that, you know, acknowledge that it was wrong as you now see it, and you're given another chance. You're forgiven. You're human. You've made a mistake. Try and be better. Then the forgiveness is based into the fact, yeah, okay, don't do it again if you can help it. Try harder. Keep trying. Don't give up. And I kind of like that one. And then the other view that Zeke was professing was that, according to evolutionary theory, almost everything is not predestined, but as a result of whatever happened before. Everything is just tied to every preceding decision, moment, emotion, thought, and that... God, it's so hard to get around this one, that maybe there was just no other choice, that it just led you to this thing. It was wherever you get to was inevitable because of what happened just that microsecond before and all the other things that have happened in your life. It's almost Zen-like in the sense that you always get to where you're supposed to be, you know. You are here now in this situation because you were there then in that situation. I don't know. I'm a little iffy on that part of it, but I think I understand. I certainly understand what it means. All right, I've run out of time, and so I'll come back next week. I've got a big week ahead of me heading off on Wednesday, and I don't know. Maybe I'll actually skip a night in Windsor and go camping instead. I don't know. I better decide soon. And I'm very worried about my host families. I don't have enough. Quite a few are not able to do it this year. And it's the weight I carry. So, on that note, Scarborough Dude. Signing off. Oh, by the way, the ending is from Pap. Mark! Mark Blevis! Mark! Wake up! Come on. Mark has a tendency to fall asleep when he's listening to my podcast. Mark, I want you to know I put this in for you. Okay, in your attempt to rejuvenate our PAB vibe and get people going and working towards creator camp or whatever we want to call it, you know, I'm opting for yurts at Algonquin Park, but Mark is working on that, and whether it'll be this year, next year, who knows? Mark, don't go back to sleep. All right, sleep now. Pause, come back tomorrow. Bye for now.
Welcome, everybody, to Podcasters Across Borders 2007.
And I think we are living in the most interesting of times.
We also have a really strong emphasis on freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of expression.
The fact that every work, whether you want it or not, gets that default protection can be a problem in new media.
You guys are all podcasters, and you know that... you don't have to be a professional to be damn good.
There are a lot of podcasters that are producing shows because they're passionate about a subject and because they know a lot about the subject.
Well, I guess I really use podcasting in my work as a tool for teaching, learning, research.
Canadian podcasters would be more aware of what their legal rights are. track that number again in a week. If the number's going up, you've created a momentum effect.
Let loose the little fractions of ourselves that sometimes we don't show other people.
I podcast one chapter, takes about half an hour to listen to. A lot longer to podcast it.
Where I've got an iRiver in my pocket, and I'm glad to see you.
It's not always about the atmosphere of sound. Sometimes it's the atmosphere of words and how they create images in our minds.
You know, you can just write out your list of pros and cons, just like if you're trying to figure out if whoever you're dating is a good person to date.
I am currently wrecked. However, thankfully, I can do this talk in my sleep because I have done it so many times and I live and breathe it pretty much all the time.
What makes it authentic is that it's real. That what I talk about and what goes on within my podcast is me.
I see at least my podcasting as a way to hook my students. It's another way to hook students.
We're really looking at podcasting as just a way of sort of highlighting your skills.
You know, I do it because of the love of it, but then there's parts of it that people could say, well, you're just, you know, doing it for the attention or some kind of money that people think I'm making, which I'm not.
People talking about there's going to come a breaking point.
And as spoken audio content producers, that's our main instrument.
To me, that's what authenticity is, being your real self.
Podcasting allows us to cover the globe and effectively be anywhere at any time.
Give yourself time to record. Don't try and slam an hour's recording in 20 minutes. It's not going to work.
No, like, you've invested something into this. Take some pride in it. Take some ownership. Don't toss it away like a broken toaster.
It's really hard to convert from one medium to another.
You give something free and you get something back tenfold on a business side or on a personal side in almost every respect.
A podcast is not a fucking toaster.
Any questions?
Again! This is the second time we've done this, and this is definitely bigger than it was last year, right? For 2 years now, we've had a lot of people come from all over the place, some from very near, some from very far, to come here and make meaningful relationships, which, like I said earlier, is one of the reasons we do this. Next year, you're going to have the same opportunity to do this again. Come back, tell your friends. Seriously, this is a wonderful opportunity. You got a couple hours left. Keep on making those meaningful relationships. Make connections and come back next year and let's do it again.